Yisoiv kol aretz kuarava. The earth will be transformed kuarava to a flat land, a plain. Achar sheyischalek har hazeisim lishnaim. The Malbim is taking us back to the beginning of the parak. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands, he comes and he stands on Har HaZeisim, and Har HaZeisim splits, it breaks open, similar to Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayibaku HaMoyim, but instead of the water splitting, the earth splits, and a channel, a valley is formed in the center of Har HaZeisim, leading from the Har Abayis all the way to a far distance, So this is very different than everything that we've learned until now. Everyone, all the Mefarshim that discussed these psukim, made absolutely no mention about the beginning of the parak of this event having anything to do with the splitting of Har HaZeisim. Everyone was very clear. We are describing the entire Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim will be flat. According to the Malbim, we are describing the crack, the valley. The valley that will be formed between in the aftermath of the split of Har HaZeisim, this valley will be flattened. V'zei Moshech, this will extend min Geva, shehi bid roimis Yerushalayim, in the southern portion of Yerushalayim, shel Achshav, ad Rimon, she'etzel Rimon tamod Yerushalayim hachadosha she'ro'oyi cheskel. Rimon is thinking also very, very radical interpretation. We learned until now that Geva l'Rimon is one term. Geva l'Rimon was one location. The Malam is learning that this transformation of the valley being flattened will begin from Geva, which is in the south, and it will extend all the way to a place called Lirimon. It will extend to a place called Rimon, which is where the new Yerushalayim will be located. As it says in Sefer Yecheskel, in the times of Mashiach, there's going to be a new Yerushalayim, because the old Yerushalayim is going to be taken over by the Levim. And the Kohanim, they are going to live in its Seviva. Okay? The Rama, the Yerushalayim Atzma, Bein Hayishana She'oleho Yamud HaMikdash, Al Chatzi Ahar HaTzifayni, Ubein HaChadosha She'oleho Tamayit Ho'ir, and the Yerushalayim, which over here he's telling us both Yerushalayim, there's two Yerushalayim, there's the old Yerushalayim and the new Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim Atzma Bein HaYishana, the old one, thank you very much, HaYishana She'olecha Yamur HaMikdash Shel Chatzi Chohar Chatzifani, the northern side, Bein HaChadosh, the new one, She'olecha Tamar HaYir Yiyu Ramim V'Nisim, they will be elevated, they will be lifted up, the Yashva Sachtecha Ben Mekaymah, and they will be settled in their location, Ki Shneem Yamdu Al Harei Ad Shasham Amda Yerushalayim Me'olam. They will stand on these mountains. Hari Ad means mountains that will exist forever. Shasham Amda Yerushalayim Me'olam. V'zeyi L'mishar Binyamin Ad Mekam Shar HaRishon. Shasham Amda Mikedem Ad Shar HaPinim U'Migdal Chananel Ad Yikvei HaSmelech. These locations Shasham Tamod Yerushalayim HaChadosha. So what he's doing over here, there's a common theme in the Malbim, and that is he is describing the old Yerushalayim and the new Yerushalayim. There's going to be a split in the mountain, and what it appears over here, okay, there's going to be a split, and then there's going to be some type of highway, some type of channel that will extend from one location to the other. The first location is the Shar Binyamin Ad Mekam Shar HaRishon, that is the old Yerushalayim, and the second part of the Pasuk at Shar HaPinim U'Migdal Chananel Ad Yikvei HaMelech is the new Yerushalayim. Okay, so he's telling us over here about two separate Yerushalayim, the old Yerushalayim, the new Yerushalayim, And okay, his approach is a bit different than everything that we've seen until now. Now let's take a look over here, briefly, let's take a look over here at the Mamari Chazal on this one pasuk. This one over here on the right side, page 852. On 852 we have the Mamari Chazal, Yisof Kol Haaretz Karava Migeva Lerimoin Negev Yerushalayim V'Ramo. He'll be uplifted, V'yosha Sachtecha, Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Hagbiyas Yerushalayim Shloisha Parsois L'Malo. So the Chazal over here are taking these words in the way they darshan psukim to tell us that Yerushalayim in the future will be uplifted, will be raised up three parsois. How much is a parsa? A parsa is 4 mil. How much is a mil? A mil is today equivalent approximately 3/4 of a mile. So that basically means it's about 3 miles. A parsa is 4 mil. Each mil is 3/4 of a mile, so it's about 3 miles. No, it's you're right. 3 parsa, so it's going to be 9, correct? It's going to be 9. It's going to be lifted as lahagbia as yushlaim shloisha parsois lamala. Now, what does that mean exactly? Obviously, this is a hyperbole. This is something which is hard to understand, but it's going to be lifted shnemar v'rama. It will be lifted up v'yoshva sachtecha. My, what does it mean over here sachtecha? The Gemara is making a drasha. The Gemara over here is comparing over here the Rama. It's a typical type of drasha in the Gemara. We are being makish. We are comparing the word the Rama to the next words the Yoshva Sachtera. What is the span of Yerushalayim today, or the Yerushalayim Tam Chazal? It was 3 parsois by 3 parsois. If you would measure from end to end, I guess it was 9 square miles. Now, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean that the width was 9 miles and the length was 9 miles? Not likely. Does it mean the entire was 3 miles by 3 miles? And that means it was within 3 square miles? I don't know. Okay, some of these calculations, I don't know exactly what it means, but it means that the Yoshua Sachtecha is something that we can relate to. That the earth, if you were to measure the perimeter of Yerushalayim, the old Yerushalayim, the old city, is very, very small. And it seems that we have evidence that in the time of the Bayis Sheni, and certainly the Bayis Rishon, it was even smaller. It was, by today's standards, it was teeny. It's hard to imagine that there were so many people, all the Mamari Chazal. It was a very, very small city. But they have today archaeological recent discoveries of where the original walls of Yerushalayim once stood. And the whole Yerushalayim would be the size of this shul, it seems. It was a very, very small city. And I guess you have to say what it says in this week's parasha. This week's parasha, it says when Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock, so Hashem told Moshe, I want you to hit the rock with a nehem. I want you to hit the rock in their presence. And Rashi says, this is one of the few places, Shehamiot Machzik HaMeruba. There were 3 million Jews in the desert. How is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu can hit the rock and every one of the 3 million Jews can witness firsthand Moshe hitting the rock? Today, with technology, all you need is someone with a video camera or a smartphone, and they can stream it live, and every person throughout the entire world can take out their smartphone and they can watch exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing. Today, it's a no-brainer. Today, no one would even blink.
Could be a giant rock.
What?
Very tall rock. Like you have in...
So 3 million people can see what's going on. We learned yesterday afternoon, I gave you a mosh, you go to a wedding. A wedding, what's the average size wedding? Go to a wedding, go to a chuppah. How many people are by a chuppah? 300 people? 200 people? Whatever. How many people go to an average wedding today in any of these wedding halls in Flatbush and what? How many people by the chuppah? 200 people? Something like that? How many people can actually see the chassan put the ring on the collar? Hopefully the witnesses see. Hopefully, you hope, right? Okay, you hope the witnesses are seeing. The good Masader Kedusha makes sure to clear the space and tell the photographer, get out of the way, so that the witnesses can see the chassan put the ring on the collar. Do the people standing under the chuppah themselves able to see this? Do the parents see this? I wonder. Because it's very crowded, and the Mesadeh Kedushin, the Chosin Kala, and the two witnesses, they all huddle together under the chuppah. Everyone else in the audience, they don't see nothing. They don't see nothing. They're just spectators from far. So if this is today, when you're doing something important, no one can see. Only if you're lucky, two people can see what's going on. Al achas kam v'kam and Moshe Rabbeinu in the Midbar, when Hashem told him, "I want you to hit the rock, and I want you to hit the rock le'einehem. I want every member of Klal Yisrael to see exactly what you're doing." And there were 3 million people. This is an impossibility.
Moshe was tall.
No matter how tall he is, for 3 million people to witness what he's doing.
Right, the rock could have been a mountain rock. You don't know. You would assume it's a small rock as opposed to a big.
3 million people can see this. Three million people.
It's going to be tall, yes.
All right, Rashi doesn't seem to say that. Rashi seems to say that this is an impossibility, and Rashi says you have no way to understand this other than to say it was a miracle. You can. One of the places in the Torah where Hamuat, a small location, was machzik, was able to contain Hameruba, a much larger gathering of people and numbers of people than physically was possible.
When Moshe was lifted, didn't they say it was an image of Moshe? People saw that he was lifter.
When Moshe went to Shemayim to Mekabel the Torah, after 40 days, after when he was supposed to come down, he did not come down on time, or they thought he did not come down on time. So the Satan, it says in the Medrash, the Satan made in Shemayim an image of Moshe's coffin being transported. And it spooked out the people. And they thought that Moshe died, and that's how the eagle began. That was
the same image that people see the actual rock.
I don't know. It seems a little bit over the top. I don't know. I really don't know. But over here we have a pasuk. Over here the Malbo. Over here the Chazal are telling us v'yosh. We're comparing v'yosh v'sachtecha to the word v'rama. V'yosh v'sachtecha means go out to Yerushalayim today and measure what is the width and the length. Of the city of Yerushalayim today. What are the dimensions of Yerushalayim, Eir HaKodesh, today? Hayoyim today, in the city today. Whatever those dimensions are, take that number and compare it to the word Virama to teach us that the Yerushalayim will be elevated. Whatever the length and the width is, that measure will be now from going horizontal will become vertical. So if the span of the city is three parsois, whatever that means, whether it means square parsois or whether it means the width is three and the length is three and whatever it comes out to, whatever it means, take that span, that area, and instead of it being vertical, we're now going to use it as our starting point of horizontal to raise the city upwards. Okay, let's go further. We're going from vertical to horizontal. Okay, we're going to go in height equal to what it was in length. How do you know that the length, the measure of Yerushalayim, this three parsa, which would mean 9 miles, it would seem. The Yerushalayim today is not 9 miles, nothing close to 9 miles. Omar Rabba, Omar Liyahu Sava, Lididi Chazli Yerushalayim Kamaisa, I saw the original Yerushalayim, Utlasa Parsoi Havya, Hashem Atoiva Yesh Sarlalais. Maybe we'll say that if Yerushalayim is going to be so tall, how are you going to get there? You have an elevator? If you're going to tell me that the Yerushalayim, the new Yerushalayim, is going to be in the sky, 9 miles up in the sky, I mean, this is very hard to understand what this Gemara means. Then how are you going to get there? You're going to have a staircase? You're going to have an escalator? Talmud Loimar, Mi Ele Ka'ov Tufena, who like these, like a cloud, will fly. V'chayoinim, and like doves, El Arubo Sehem, to their nest.
What does it mean, Chazim Yerushalayim?
I saw the original before it was destroyed. He's over here describing after the Chum Bayis Sheni. He's describing what Yerushalayim looked like before the Chum Bayis Sheni. I saw Yerushalayim and the span of Yerushalayim was three parsecs. He's an eyewitness what it looked like. He lived before the Chum and Yerushalayim. He saw what it looked like. And now we're saying that that land is going to be the height, it's going to be raised in that height. How are you going to get there? So the pasuk says there's going to be like a cloud. You will be worse than the drasha, that the person will be raised to Yerushalayim as if a person, like the same way the cloud effortlessly appears, is raised in the sky. The Eidiyale Minarets. Clouds are formed by mist. The sun shines and it causes the moisture in the earth to rise effortlessly. And like Yoinim doves, they just flap their wings, and before they blink, they reach their nest. And we were saying their nest in a moment. The same thing that the Jewish people, when they will go up to Yerushalayim, that will be elevated, it will not be a tircha. It will not wear you out. To climb up a flight of steps. You ever try to climb a flight of steps? I was once spent some time in a hospital on Shabbos. I thought maybe, I'll be very religious. I won't use a Shabbos elevator. Yeah, try to climb up 10 flights of stairs. Not so easy to go up and down 10 flights of steps. It's not even easy to go down 10 flights of steps. Certainly not easy to go up 10 flights of steps. So the more you're saying is that it's not going to be an issue. It's going to be whatever this means. It's very hard to understand. But what do we take out of this Maamar Chazal? The Maamar Chazal over here is telling us a translation for these words, which all the other commentators seem to struggle. The word Virama, everyone seems to agree the word Virama means will be elevated. The question over here is, what are the next words? V'yoshva tachtecha. So some learned it means, it's yoshva tachtecha. I remember the Radak says, the words V'yoshva tachtecha are connected to the next two words, L'mishar Binyamin. It will start to it's giving us over here the starting location of where Yerushalayim will begin. It will be established in its place, and this is the starting point. Tachtecha means this is the starting point. And what is the starting point? L'mishar Binyamin ad mekayim shar harishayim. And then it goes on. According to the, I think other mefarshim, Rashi in Yoshua Sachtecha means it will be re-established in its original location. We discussed yesterday at length. Malamed Shamokim Gorim. It will be established. It will be repopulated. The new Yerushalayim will be repopulated in the same location as where it was populated in back originally. Here we have a Chaim Chazal is giving us a new translation, and it's telling us the words V'yoshva Sachtecha is the distance in height, how high Virama. It is coming to modify the word Virama. The subject of the two words V'yoshva Sachtecha is the word Virama. What will be the height of its elevation? Will it be 10 feet higher? Will it be 50 feet higher? Will it be 1,000 feet higher? Well, the answer to that question is it will be elevated in height equal to its length. Equal to its length will be its height. And this is a very interesting idea. I'm talking about in this world, the three dimensions of this world. There's vertical, there's horizontal, and these things have meaning. We know the Nachash once upon a time stood tall. A Nachash had legs. The Nachash stood vertical. Vertical, had legs. And then the curse of the Nachash was, no longer will you stand vertically, you will now sliver horizontally. There's no creature that's more horizontal than the Nachash. Okay, even animals, animals which go walk on their fours, some of them, they have the ability every so often to jump, to lift themselves up on their feet to a degree. But the Nachash has no feet. The Nachash, there's no vertical creature more than the Nachash. And the Nachash once upon a time stood tall. The Gemara says, what is the center of the Torah? The center letter of the Torah, Vav Digachalim. There is no letter that is more vertical than the letter Vav. The letter Vav is straight. Gochoin was the curse of Al Gochoin Chaselech. No longer will you be vertical, you're going to be flat. And the Gemara says, what is the center of the Torah? It's where the Vav and Gochoin meet. It's where, in this world, we have a concept called vertical and a concept of horizontal. The center, the penimius of the Torah, is where is where the what is vertical meets with what is horizontal. What does that mean? Vertical represents the concept of Bein Adam LaMokom. I'm here, Hashem is in Shemayim. Hashemayim, Shemayim LaHashem, V'Yoharetz Nasan Livnei Adam. Know your place. Anything vertical represents you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Horizontal represents Bein Adam LaChaveroi. All of us are down here on the same level. So when you talk about something that's horizontal, you're talking about Bein Adam LaChaveroi. What is more important? Adam LaChaveroi or Adam LaMokom? What is the Ikkar? What's the Ikkar that we should focus on? Well, there really is no answer. It's really both. Adam LaChaver, when there's only Adam LaChaver and there's an Adam LaMokom, it results in murder. It results without any discipline and guidelines, an Adam LaChaver will be a disaster. If you only focus on Adam LaMokom, it's also going to be a disaster. That's exactly the panemius of the Torah. Is the meaning, is the shleimus, the meaning of Bein Adam LaChaveroi and Adam LaMokom. Every time a person, he is good to his fellow man, he's acknowledging that his fellow man is also created in the Tzelem Elokim. Every time a person recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he realizes that he has a duty to be good, to live in this world and be good to man. There is a meeting point, a convergence of Adam LaChaveroi Bein Adam LaMokom. The center of the Torah is Vav DeGochoy. That's like an oxymoron. What is Vav DeGochoy? Vav is vertical. Gochoy is horizontal. That was the curse of the Nachash. No longer will you walk erect. Al Gochoy Chaselech.
What's funny is that this becomes a nun, and this path, this vertical and horizontal.
The vertical and horizontal. What do you mean becomes a nun?
A nun
is a nachash. Well, the nachash was reduced from what once was vertical. He became horizontal. Okay, the center, the panimi is the center. So over here, when you learn this, Maimon Chazal like this, and it tells us that la'asala v'ro'ama, it will be lifted up equal to its horizontal plane. What is that saying to you? What is Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim is the Shar HaShamayim. Manoira HaMokoyim HaZeh Ein Zeh Ki Im Beis Elokim V'Zeh Shar HaShamayim. Yerushalayim is the Mokoyim, the gateway to Hashem, to Shamayim. It's the vertical channel. Okay, all of the tefillos of this world, as they are said, they travel to Yerushalayim, and in Yerushalayim it goes up. Sounds like a science fiction movie, right? You go up. This is the place in the world where we enter to Shemayim. Le'asalavo, Yerushalayim will be lifted high. The Shar HaShemayim will be the revelation of how this Mokoyim takes us to Shemayim will be magnified. It will become clear. It's going to be the highest place in the world, and it's going to be lifted. All the other mountains are going to be lowered. It will be a revelation. This is the Sha'ar HaShemayim. How high will it go? The height will go as much as we are good to each other, equal to its length. Lecharva Yerushalayim Ella, because of sinas chinam, hatred. Man could not get along with his fellow man. The more man focuses on being able to come together in achdus, the more of the horizontal plane, the more we establish the horizontal, that is going to be how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu will raise us vertical. Vertical is our entranceway to Shemayim, our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim. Horizontal is all of us. The Chazal say, the Ro'amo, the new Yerushalayim, will be raised higher and higher. Manoira HaMokoy Mazeh, that's what Yaakov Avinu said about Yerushalayim. Ein ze kim beis Elokim v'ze shar ha-shamayim. How high is the Rama equivalent to the Yoshva Sachtaha? How well, how good we are to each other who live in the horizontal plane. The length, which means the way we get along, the more we get along, is the more Hashem will elevate, the opening will elevate us higher in the vertical plane, which allows us to come closer to Him. That's what it says over here. He says over here, that was the first part of what it says. And the second part, it says it's going to be very easy to go up to Yerushalayim. You just effortlessly. What does that mean exactly? I don't know, but I remember years ago, I used to go, my brother used to live in Har Nof. This is years ago, he doesn't live anymore. And Har Nof, so there was someone, I davened with, he passed away a while ago. He also lived, he also spent a lot of time in Har Nof. And he would come back to the American Heritage Show, and he always complained to me that it's very hard to live there. Because he was no youngster, this fellow. And he said, there are a lot of steps. wherever you go, it's on a big hill. And he even told me a gematria. He told me a gematria, he counted the steps. And he told me it's chalosh. He gave me a whole gematria of how many steps he has to ascend to get to his house, whatever. But it's not easy. It's not easy to go up a lot of steps. It's a very big issue. It's a very big issue all over the world. When you have to go up steps, it's very, very hard. This shul isn't, this shul, there are steps inside. Now, there are certain shuls that have milos, you don't have to go steps. Most shuls, the way every building is made, codes, city codes, the construction codes demand that it not be level with the street because of flooding. Because if it rains, it's very easy if your building is level, the first was level with the street, and there's some type of storm, and there's some flooding, then the whole inside is flooded. So basically 99%, probably all new construction, I would imagine, is raised a couple of steps above the ground. Mm-hmm. And then the basement,
it's built in the mountains, so when you go on from level, you go down 2-3 flights.
Right.
Okay, that helps. The
buildings
are
right.
The space in the front, so they should have light coming in.
They have light coming in?
Yeah, they have like a...
In the basement?
No, from the sidewalk and from the building, they have, let's say, 3-4 feet.
So you have windows there, so natural light.
Down,
right.
So you're not actually touching the...
Right, okay, there are different reasons why, but there are still some exceptions. Like Ramiro, you daven by Posna, there it's flush with the street.
You can walk in with a wheelchair.
You can walk in straight in. It's a machaya. Right, Davin on Shabbos or Yitzhak, it's flush with the street. Because these places were not built as shul. These were built as, was built as a probably a garage, like for cars, for a mechanic, and they turned it into a shul. So they got away with it. Whatever the codes were, they got away with it. But what's the danger? It's takachu. When it's snowing outside, all the garbage from the street goes right inside. It goes right inside. But on the other hand, the trade-off is, it's a machaya. People have a hard time going up steps. You can go right into shul with you don't have to take any steps. So here it says that when you knew Yerushalayim, no such luck. You're going to be walking up a lot of steps, but it says no worries, it's going to be effortless to get up high. Okay, that concludes this pasuk. Let's now go to the next sugya. Let's go for the pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph reads, V'yashuva v'chedim lo ye'oid. In the new Yerushalayim, the Jews are going to settle there, and there's no longer going to be Acherim, which means, Acherim is a very hard word to translate because it's used many different ways. As we all know, that the word Cherem, words in Hebrew are not defined. We always say there is no unabridged Oxford dictionary for the Hebrew language. There is no dictionary for the Hebrew language because in Hebrew, it's not like any other language. There is no definition. A word does not have a definition. Letters, a combination of letters, are abstractions. And the meaning of the word is only understood from its context. In other languages, it's not so. Mm-hmm. Words are defined. And there's a sophisticated rule for how you use the word. In the Hebrew language, no such thing. Words are not defined. Words are raw matter. Raw matter and its definition takes on meaning purely based upon its context. And if you want to write appealed, you want to write your own words, you can do the same thing. You can take a word and based on the way you vowelize the word, how you use the word, the meaning will be different. So it says of Yashuva, Cherem lo yod. Cherem sometimes means a curse. In Chazal it means a curse. A person commits a crime, and the Tzibur, the Bezdin, says this person is in Cherem. There are different terms. The Shamta is a Cherem. They have different uses, different meaning. It basically means that the Bezdin basically curse him. This person should be cursed. You go live, go do whatever you want. So that's called Shamta. Shamta, I don't know exactly how it's used in Chazal, but it's very hard to control people. Today in our society, let's say a person doesn't give a get. We're having this all the time. Someone doesn't want to give a get. And the rabbi is very angry. So what does the rabbi say? This person does not get an aliyah in this shul. You don't get an aliyah. You don't get an aliyah, you don't have the amud, you get any kibudim, and So what does a person do today if he's in that matzah? Go to the next shul. Big deal. So go down the block. There's another shul. They don't know what happened to me. They don't care. And guess what? Every story, how many sides are there to a story? Two sides to a story? No, that's too simple. Every story has at least 3, 4, 5, 6 sides to it. You have a fight between two people. Whose side are you on? This is not a baseball game. There aren't two teams. Every story has multiple sides to a story. So in this shul, the rabbi doesn't like you, so he doesn't want to give you an aliyah, so Gesundheit hates you. Go down the block to the next shul. It's very, very hard in order to punish people. There's no control. I mean, if all of the rabbanim, they get together, they all agree, he'll go to another community. So in time of Chazal, they had the same problem. They had the same problem like this. However, what they did was very, very fascinating. It was an amazing thing. No one's allowed to do business with this person. No one's allowed to see him. But it appears the more significant thing that they did was they cursed him. Is that if this kihila, you want to go to another kihila, you want to go to another country, there's no internet those days, no one knew anything, you pick yourself up and you go. If they don't like you in Flatbush, so you go to Bar Park. Who's going to know in Bar Park? Who's going to know anything? You go to another city, no one's going to know. But they were very clever. Because then they'd go. But this kihila, we as the Bezdin, we hereby formally curse you. Now, when a Bezdin curses a person, that's serious business. The person, you can run, but you can't hide from a curse. If Talmidei Chachamim, people who you know to be the real deal, not talking about, fly by night, make believe Rabbanim, talking about the real deal, if they get together and they give you, they curse the person, that's scary business. That's not something that a person that you ignore. That's called the Cherem. Okay, Cherem was a curse. And it's used other ways. Sometimes, looking by Yehoshua, when they came to conquer the city of Ai, city of Yehoshua, there was a Cherem. Cherem there doesn't mean a curse, not necessarily. In that context, it means no one is allowed. Maybe, I don't even have to study the Farshim, there's probably a Machlekes, exactly what it means in that context as well. But it still means no one is allowed to take anything. The money is set aside. It is the spoils of war are not to be touched. It is pushed away. It is distanced from us.
Separated.
And then you have Cherem when it comes to giving a gift to Kohanim. Person wants to be Mahane, the Kohanim. So you declare Hare Ze Cherem. I want this property. I have over here on the table a bag of gold coins, and you make a declaration. Hare ze cherem. What have you done? It means this is a gift to the Kohan. Kohanim did not have parnasa. They did not have any land. It was an agricultural society. They had no land. They had no means of making a parnasa, and they lived off the tzibur. So when a person declares the pasuk of the Torah, cherem. So cherem means many different things. The common denominator of the word cherem means it is set aside. That's the raw essence of the word cherem. Now you can expand upon that. Set aside doesn't mean set aside as in being cursed, because when a person is cursed, that's the ultimate setting aside of a person. You remove from the tzibur. Does it mean giving the money for a holy purpose to Kohanim? Does it mean in the conquest of Yericho the money should be also set aside, not to be taken, to be left alone as a means of discipline or as a donation to whatever it means? So here, what does it mean in this context? The Yashuva, the Jewish people who live in Yerushalayim, lechem lo ye'oid. Yeah, so we'll see all the Mufash, they say different things. Just hold on a mind in one moment. The Yashuva Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim will now dwell levetach forever. Okay, it's only one pasuk here, so let's just do this one pasuk very quickly. Maybe we can just do this very quickly. It's one pasuk, we'll do this one pasuk in Aleph. In the Mitzudas of Yashuva, Ritzon Eloimar, Yeshuva li'olam, they will dwell there. They will dwell there for forever. Okay, so he learns that Yashuva means they're going to live there forever. The cherem lo ye'oid, and they will no longer be a, they will no longer be a cherem lo ye'ba shi mamon va'avodon. The Mitzudas of the Lord's word cherem means there's never going to be any desolation, any destruction. There's not going to be wars. Where there's ever going to be any more in Yerushalayim, any desolation and Chorban. Okay, and that's it for the Mitzudah stuff. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasik, Yud Aleph, Chedem, Lo Yisiya, Ho Ir Od. He learns that the same thing really as the Mitzudah, the city will never suffer from I guess, Chorban, destruction. Radak, Pasik Yud Aleph, V'yashuva, Perush, V'yeshvu, Yisrael, Yeshu, Bal Le'olam, the Jewish people will settle there forever. The cherem lo ye'oil shalotia lecherem ulechurban le'olam. Same idea. There will no longer be a chorban in this location in this city. Kmo hu shnemar b'nevuas yirmiyo lo yinaseish v'lo yehareh. See, this is what the Radak is very good. If you want to know the meaning of a word, so the Radak is employing a very interesting technique. Being that we know that all of the neviim are basically saying the same thing, they but also the same movie. And they're all giving us their version, their description. So if you have a difficulty understanding what one Navi said, because you're not familiar with the language may be too vague, too abstract, so it's fair game to go to the equivalent prophecy from a different Navi and see how what he said. And then based upon his words can be more easier to understand and to digest, and that will be a revelation, a Perush Rashi, on what the Navi, who says something that's more abstract, what he meant to say. So Radak basically over here is saying is that this term, the cherem, lo yiyeod, I don't know what this means. What does this mean, a cherem? A cherem in Tanakh sometimes is something good, and sometimes is bad. Sometimes the cherem is something physical, and sometimes cherem means just stay away from it. What does it mean here? So everyone so far said that it means something physical. The land will never be destroyed. It's not going to happen that an enemy is going to penetrate and make war and demolish a building. They're not going to shoot missiles from Gaza, from Lebanon, that's going to land in any territory, in any civilian area, anywhere, and destroy buildings. There's not going to be any physical destruction any longer due to an enemy, from an enemy. Or maybe it means it's not going to be a natural disaster. Hashem's going to protect you, Shalom, that should never happen, there's going to be an earthquake. That's what everyone said. The Radak wasn't so convinced, obviously. Is that what it means? So what did he do? He went to an equivalent prophecy from From who? From Yirmiyah. And Yirmiyah, he said the words Lo Yinosesh Velo Yehoreis, describing Yishlam Shalos Los Lavo. Yinosesh means to be basically demolished. And two words which mean demolished and physical destruction. Oh! Physical destruction? If that's the way Yirmiyah described the word, what is going to happen, so we have a right to assume that when Zechariah said the same term, Zechariah, he meant there's not going to be any physical destruction, harm that will come upon Yerushalayim. Now, the Malbum, we'll see the Malbum, we'll say an idea. The Malbum says, not like today, not like during the time of the Golas when no one lived there. That was destroyed. Where's the next page in the Malbum? Achar Yeshuva, okay, on page 855. The Yashva Yerushalayim Lavetach Loikmo Bizmanim Hakaidim Shahayuba Tomid Milchamais. So he's saying over here three ideas. A very beautiful idea what he's saying now. The Malbum is always very, very interesting. He's saying, the Malam is saying there are three expressions in this pasuk. Number one, it says, the Yashruva, period. That is number one. Number two, the Cherem Lo Yiye Oid. That's number two. Number three, the Yashva Yerushalayim Lovetach. That's number three. A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. What are the three tekufas? So he matches them up to a unique type of Churban that Yerushalayim experienced in Jewish history. Number one is the Cherem Lo Yiye Ba. The first Tekufa refers to number one, Loi Kimo Be'ez HaGoylash Lo Hoye Ba Yishuv. Now that means, let's assume simply for the 52 years, between the Churban Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, when there was no living creature in Yerushalayim, not even a bird, not even a rodent. There was absolutely nothing there in Yerushalayim. That's the first part. The Yashruvah, there will be people living there. Number one. Number two, the Cherem Lo Ye'oid, what is number two referring to? Loi Kimoi Bebayis Rishon Shenechruvah, Shenechrava Achar Yishuva. It was destroyed. It will never happen that it will experience Churban, destruction. Just Pashup Shop, destruction. It's not going to happen when you're living there. Someone, an enemy will penetrate and will destroy the city, will destroy the houses, the walls, the infrastructure. The third part is the Yashva Yushlam Levetach is. There will not be wars. You'll live there safely. Notice, people will live there. You don't have to worry that your homes will be destroyed. And number three, you will live in peace. There will not be enemies and fighting taking place in the city itself. Three different dimensions, three different elements of having, of what will be in Yerushalayim. There will be people living there. Nothing is going to be destroyed. And you'll live in peace. Three different elements. Now, before we go further, we being that we know the word v'cherem is a very obscure word, it's an abstract word, today, in the 21st century, if you wouldn't see the mefarshim, you would say something very different. Today, what does v'cherem mean? BDS. BDS stands for boycott, divestment, and sanction. Okay, this thing going on all over the world, to boycott, to divest, and to sanction the state of Israel. Isn't that what Cherem means? When the United Nations, how many resolutions have been passed in the United Nations censoring and condemning the state of Israel? That's Cherem. Does the BDS, is it physical? When we hear about movements, college campuses all over the world of people that are pro-BDS, does it mean they've come into Yerushalayim and launched a missile? Does it mean they have demolished buildings? No. There's nothing physical about BDS. It's about don't invest, don't support financially the state of Israel. When the United Nations issues a resolution to censor and to condemn the state of Israel, it is a statement of hate emanating from the world, and it affects the Jewish people's morale. It affects their what do they accomplish? What do they accomplish with the resolution? To a degree, it's very similar to BDS. To a degree, people have a different attitude not to do business, not to benefit, do things that will benefit the state of Israel. But are these things the same idea as what it says in Rashi, the Netzudos, the Radak and Malbim? No. They don't live in our day and age. They don't live in the modern world where the Looney Tunes of the world invented this crazy thing called BDS, and the United Nations, whose only purpose is to issue resolutions against Eretz Yisrael. But it's like so super obvious that living in the 21st century, reading this passage, describing the Shrine of Lasse Lovo, that when it says here, the Yashuva, the Jewish people, they will live in Yerushalayim, they will thrive. The Cherem lo yihye oid. There's no such thing as BDS. There's no such thing. You'll never ever hear on the news that today the United Nations got together and they issued a resolution against the state of Israel. You'll never hear someone, an anchorman from CNN, with this vicious hate and challenge. How could it be? How could it be that the state of Israel they have been able to have the Iron Dome? How could it be that someone tries to kill them, they're allowed to defend themselves? How could the world allow the Jewish people to defend themselves? This is not fair. It's not fair. Hamas, these cockroaches, they also have a right to exist, and their existence is to murder. How could you take away the rights of the Palestinians of murdering Jews? How could America give them money to replenish their Iron Dome? Right? Isn't that Cherem? That's Cherem. Those type of statements are very damaging. The Cherem lo yoid. So, and the truth is, this term of Cherem is the much more natural translation than what Rashi, the Mitzudas, the Malbim, and the Radak are saying. Because in Chazal, the way Chazal uses Cherem, they basically use it as a form of coercion or punishment where there is nothing physical. If a person is a rebel person, doesn't want to give a get person, doesn't want to pay, doesn't want to do what he's obligated to do, so they put upon him a cherem. Cherem slash shamta, different terms, different nuances, but the word cherem. What does that mean? That Bezdin beats the living daylights out of him? Well, they don't. That's called Malchus. Malchus Mardus. That's a whole different concept. Cherem means coercion through sanctions, through distancing. There's the sanctions, telling everyone to stay away from him, or even cursing him, issuing a curse. Really physical they're doing to him. That's the way we use the word today. And Zechariah the Navi had tunnel vision, seeing the 21st century, seeing how the world runs in a very different way today. And he says, Zechariah lo yeh oy. We have an advantage that would appear on the page. The Rishonim over here didn't say that. They didn't say that. Not to say that we don't even come to a speck of dust hiding underneath their toenails in their grayness, but we have the advantage of being present in this world of reality, and it's super simple what this pasuk means when you read this in the 21st century. This is, after all, prophecy. And prophecy is, in essence, I'm going to assess it to you right now. You're not going to understand a word that I'm saying, but I guarantee there will come a point in time in world history where the words will be so super simple that even a child in kindergarten can understand what this means. That's what prophecy is. And I think here's a really great example. Because that's pretty much what we suffer from today. Baruch Hashem, today, more or less, the world is not trying to kill us physically as they've done in the Holocaust, the Crusades, Inquisition, Tach V'Tat, and Tatnu, and all the horrific events. Baruch Hashem, Halavai Vayter, the main thrust, the main thrust of their hatred today is it's different. It's a hatred in sanctions, in attitude, in isolation, in cancellation, in degradation. It's very because this leads. You all know where this leads. But in the meantime, this form of behavior, it's different. It's all nichlal in the form cheren.
It's
all related. The truth is, they're all two sides of the same coin. But it's the gilui is the cheren. And look at that. We have here a pasuk that tells us that speaks our language. Okay. Let's now move ahead to the next.
I think we have something very interesting. Because before, we explained the Schleswig Shalim as a huge, gigantic, tremendous city. And obviously, everybody on the world would love it. All the nations would come and say, hey, it's ours. Palestinians would say, hey, it's ours. He says, no, wait a second. Yeshua, Yeshua, Pasteha. All these big places that are up there. And then they are smooth. Who? The Jews. Okay. No, it's gonna affect them. The Ashma. And Yerushalayim not better. And then Yerushalayim is just improved. The city itself, Yishma not better, will never be destroyed. Now we promise Yerushalayim also. Yeah, he said that what he promised to do is what to do Yerushalayim as an entity. Every Yerushalayim, the new Yerushalayim, never be destroyed.
Very good. Very, very good. Very nice. Pasuk Yud Beis. Now we go to the next pasuk. Now we're going to describe the punishment that's going to come to the nations of the world. All over Chazal, we find it's very important. It's hard for us to fully appreciate this. That it's very important that there should be justice. Our enemies should be served for their crimes. There's no mechila. There's no mechila for what the Ummah Islam have done to us. Today we live in a world, you see all the leaders of the world, and they try very much to kiss and make up because they need each other's business. And they put aside all the crimes and the wars, and it's considered to be very noble. But we can move on. Let's kiss and make up and let's move on. Absolutely, there's no question of this, nothing to it, but there's also a danger in forgiveness and forgiving, not to forget, and justice must be served. And here we are describing that Yom HaGodol of what's going to happen, the justice that's going to be served to our enemies. The Zoyz Tiyah Magefa Asher Yigaf Hashem is called, this will be the Magefa Asher Yigaf, which will Yigoyf is the word of Magefa. The word Yigoyf is not such an easy word to translate. Yigoyf in the Gemara in Aramaic means to push, to shove. But that's not what it means over here. Over here, it means we'll have to see clearly more in the Mefarshim, a better translation. But it seems over here it means Yigoyf, which is it's related to the word Magefa. Magefa has three word letters: Mem, Gimel Pei. And here we're missing the Mem. We're replacing Mem with the word Yud, but it seems that it's still related. They're going to be smitten. They're going to suffer. As Hashem Eskol Ha'amim, Asher Tzavu'u Al Yerushalayim, who have gathered upon Yerushalayim. The word Tzavu is a very powerful word. It means not just to gather like a bunch of, like we're talking about the Crusades, the first Crusade. When the enemies marched to Yerushalayim, was it a sophisticated march? Was it organized? No. These were bloodthirsty hooligans. Savages, mercenaries. These were people that had nothing, that had no purpose in this world. Just no discipline, no values, just hooligans. And they marched to Yerushalayim to take it from the hands of the Muslims. And in the process, they found Jews and they murdered them. They found, I think, 500 Jews in Yerushalayim. They put them all in the shul. It was a shul, and they arrived there and they locked them in the shul and they burnt the shul down with the people inside. Because they're also infidels. So are you going to say that was called Tzavu'u al Yerushalayim? No, that's not called Tzavu'u. That's a different pasuk. That's a different discussion. Tzavu'u means a sophisticated, organized crime. There's organized crime and there is regular crime. Okay, you have petty crime. I don't know all the terms in among the lawyers, all the different charges. There's petty crime. A meshugan who walks into a store and he steals something, shoplifting, petty crime. And then you have some armed robbers. They go in, they steal something. And then you have a sophisticated crime which involves many branches of the government. And not just one government, this collusion with other governments. You have to watch some real movies to get some ideas of what it means, tzavai. In Shemayim, there's a tzavo ha-shemayim. The tzavo ha-shemayim means there is precision. There is detailed precision. If the sun would be 1 inch further than where it is, then the earth would freeze over. If the sun would be 1 inch closer to earth, then the earth would dry out. The moon has to be just where it is to provide the perfect balance of magnetism. There, every single star has a magnetic pull upon the orbit of the earth. Everything in Shemayim is arranged with the ultimate precision. Every star, every heavenly member of this heavenly body is positioned exactly where it needs to be, so everything should work perfectly. That's called the Tzvo HaShemayim. Just like in an army, there are different divisions, and each division has a role, and there's a coordination through the general for everything to come together to achieve the goal. That is the Tzvaos. The Tzvaos, that's what a Tzva means. So here, when we're describing over here, this pasuk, we are describing over here something very unique. We are describing the punishment that Hashem is going to bring upon the people who asher tzavu'u al Yerushalayim. This would refer, and I mean, we look back, hindsight is 2020, would refer to like the Holocaust. What more can you say about organized crime against the Jewish people than the Holocaust? The Germans, with their incredible precision, the records, they knew every single thing. They had records of every single Jew. They had records of every single one who they murdered. The revelations that are still coming out today of how organized, how well planned and thought out it was, how to kill the Jews, is just not to be believed. Read some of these horror stories about what before they invented the gas chambers. So the beginning of the Holocaust, they killed Jews through shooting them, bullets. And then they realize they're not going to have enough bullets. They don't have 6 million bullets. So what do? They arrange, they put them in pits, and they arrange them in such a way where their heads would be one on top of the other or in a certain position. They can shoot one bullet and it would go through multiple people and kill multiple people with one bullet. And they were organized. They organized how they could be more efficient and optimize the murder. And this train system track. Why was Auschwitz the central location for the where they built the gas chambers? Because that's where all of the tracks, all of the railroad tracks, it all led, it was a central place where all, it was only because of the railroads. The railroad system, they looked at the map, this is a place where it's in the center, where we could bring all the Jews from all over Poland, all over the neighboring countries, where we can bring them. It was done with efficiency, with sophistication, with coordination, and a lot of chachma. That's called tzavu. When these mshugoyim in Gaza shoot missiles, that's not called tzavu. They're a bunch of mshugoyim. They don't even know what they're doing. They kill themselves. Half the missiles land in Gaza. They don't know what in the world they're doing themselves. They don't even know how to operate the machinery, the weapons that they have. They're mshugoyim. That's not called tzavu.
It's written in Persian.
The mayor says is that the instructions are written in Persian, and the people who live in Gaza, they don't even know Arabic. They're going to know how to read the instructions. That's not called tzava. This pasuk is describing a coordinated Gesundheit effort to destroy the Jewish people. You could certainly, beyond a shadow of a doubt, assume that Zachariah was referring to Nazi Germany. And you can assume he's referring to the church, the Spanish Inquisition, which was just as sophisticated in their attempt to discover Jews in hiding and interrogate them. And maybe the KGB also. The KGB in the days of Russia in their attempt to eliminate the Jewish people, they have quite an organization, the KGB. Why don't they ask Putin? He knows where all the skeletons are buried. I wonder if that's what he spoke about for 2 hours behind closed doors. Our president and Putin. So these are organized criminals. We're discussing here organized crime. That's what we're discussing. And therefore they deserve a unique form of punishment. The other Meshugayim, they have a different section in Tanakh for what's coming for them. The word tzavu is a powerful word, and it says here, their flesh will melt. This will happen when they're standing on their feet. Their eyes will melt, the same word as it says above, in their sockets. Uleshoinoi, and their tongue, timak, bifihem, again, the same word three times will melt in their mouth. Now, just like we said before, that when Zechariah wrote this part, the pasuk before, and he says, v'cherem lo yeod, what does it mean? V'cherem lo yeod, what does that word mean? And they all said it means there's not going to be any physical destruction, but we today know there's a much simpler translation. It means there's not going to be this attitude of censure and hate. So too, this pasuk here, we don't know what it means. But we have to have faith. There's no way you can say, we're going to see the Mefarshim. The Mefarshim are going to give us all these very nice interpretations of what it means. We're all emes. Emes, v'nochon, ma'minim, b'nei ma'minim. But certainly, it doesn't seem like this event has happened yet, to the degree that we really can understand what this means on a very simple level. A person is standing, he's standing, and while he's standing, his omid al raglav, his eyes, they melt in their sockets, and his tongue melts in his mouth. We don't know what this means. Let's be realistic. And we've learned enough psukim already in Nach to see that in the 21st century, we do understand what psukim mean, and which could not have possibly been understood in previous generations. So this is yet to be understood. I'll just see the mitzvahs and we'll stop. Just that passing. Okay, we'll definitely do a few more psukim together. I'll just read a little bit, and then we'll stop. V'haya b'yamahu on that day tiyat mechumas Hashem Rabba b'hem. There'll be a mechuma, a confusion, chaos. V'herziko ish yad re'eyu. Each man will grab hold of the hand of his friend. We also yodo al yad re'eyu. It sounds like there's going to be a fist fight. That's what it sounds like. The gam Yehudu tilachem Yerushalayim. Yehudu is going to find Yerushalayim. The usaf chel kol goyim saviv. It's going to be gathered all the army of all of the nations saviv. Zahav, v'chesef, they can come with gold and silver, v'gadim, l'roid, with many garments. V'chein tiye magev asasus. There's going to be a magev for the horses. Haperu, the mules. Hagamo, the camels. V'achamo, the donkeys. V'chol abahim asher yiye b'machmeh sohima. Ka magevah hazayis. It's going to be exactly the same thing. There's going to be some major, major chaos. All right, time is up. I'm going to stop over here. Take a short break. I want to do part two and discuss some more ideas relating to the Sereifas HaTalmud that took place in the year 1244 in Paris, in front of the Cathedral of Notre Dame. The Sereifas HaTalmud.
Today is the yardside of Rabbi Ephraim's grandmother, Leah Sara.
No, my mother.
Leah Sara?
Today's my mother's yard site.
Okay, Leah Sara.
Leah Sara Shmuel David.
We're missing one for a minion, so.
Alright, don't worry. Tikkun.
There's coffee and soda. Yeah.